mountaintops and the valleys. You're still God, you're still on the throne. I'll praise cause you're sovereign, praise cause you reign, praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. Praise cause you're faithful, praise cause you're true, praise cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise cause you're sovereign, praise cause you reign, praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. Praise cause you're faithful, praise cause you're true, praise cause there's nobody.
Christ is my firm foundation. He's the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. And He's never let me down. He's faithful generations, so why would He fail now? He won't. He won't. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense, so I won't be cold.
Yeah. Serve. You know, the song talked about he's faithful through generations, and we seen the baptisms from last week. We've seen the generations that are to come and how important it is to keep building upon generation after generation. God is faithful that when we raise our kids up in the Lord, he'll take care of them. Amen. And this song's called Promises because those promises are true. They're faithful. But we have to know the promises of God to be able to stand on the promises of God. So as we sing this song today, it's a new song for our church, but I pray that it blesses you. And I pray when we get to the chorus where it talks about great is your faithfulness. We've sang the songs before, great is thy faithfulness, O God, but he is faithful.
Faithful promises, time and time again, you have proven you do just what you said. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I remain steadfast and let my heart learn when you speak a word, it will come to pass. Your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting same, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to
our faith in Jesus. Because He's our anchor. He's our hope. Let's sing that today. I put my faith in Him.
Oh, I put my faith in Jesus, my anchor to the ground, my hope and firm foundation. He'll never let me down. Oh, I put my faith in Jesus, my anchor to the ground. He's my hope and firm foundation. He'll never let me down. Oh, I put my faith in Jesus.
'Cause my
anchor, oh, my anchor to the ground. He's my hope and firm foundation. Oh, He'll never let me down. He will never let me down. Oh, great is Your faith. He's my anchor to the ground.
He's my
hope and firm foundation. He'll never let me down. He will never let me down.
You sing that? Great.
Great is Your faithfulness to me.
You are so faithful.
Great is Your faithfulness to me.
From the rising sun
to the setting
same, I will praise Your name.
Great is Your faithfulness to me.
Sing that again. Great.
Great is Your faithfulness to me.
Thank You, God, that You are faithful. Hallelujah. You're faithful and true, God. Time and time again, Lord, you show up. Your timing's not our timing, but Lord, You show up and You answer. Though sometimes the answer may not be what we want, what we desire. But Lord, if we put our faith in You, Lord, then our desires become Your desires. We give You praise. We give You glory. It's in Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. You can be seated.
Man, it's good to see you guys here today. It has been an incredible weekend. If it's your first time here, we're so glad you came. Or if you've been coming a while, if we haven't met yet, I'm just going to be hanging down here in the bullpen after service. I'd love to meet you. My name's Dave. I'm the pastor here. But I've got a special treat for you this week. We just came out of an incredible men's conference. The last 2 days here, just under 200 guys that were here and just challenged and worshiped. And we dug into the life of Peter and we learned a lot of stuff. And it was an incredible time. And one of the guys that was here for that, and that's why I love doing the men's conference, because we bring guys in to speak for that, and then one of them has to stay. Because we always bring one of them that's far enough away that it doesn't make sense for him just to drive home or go back home. And so my buddy Daryl, it was here Thursday night. Came in Thursday night, spoke for us, was here for the weekend, spoke at that, and he's here today and got an incredible message. Daryl and his wife Holly have been in Jasper, Indiana for 24 years. They planted a church in Jasper 24 years ago that now, now has three campuses, a couple thousand people just growing like crazy. And it is literally in the middle of a cornfield. I don't know. I thought I had seen corn. I thought I understood corn until I went to visit their church. And I got off the interstate there at Santa Claus, and I went north instead of going south to Santa Claus. So I'm going up to Jasper, and I'm driving through, I don't know, it had to be at least a bazillion acres of corn. There was corn everywhere. And I'd heard about this. It was like in the middle. And sure enough, I'm driving down this little country road, and there's this monster building up on a hill. And I'm like, that doesn't fit the narrative of this part of Indiana. And as I get closer and closer, sure enough, it's Darrell's church. And what an awesome, awesome job they're doing there. Like I said, 24 years just building a church. He and his wife Holly raised their kids there and done everything. And you guys are about to have your socks blessed off. So would you give a warm Shelby Christian Church welcome to Darrell Land?
Well, good morning. Good to see you. I'm so glad to be here. You all are so gracious. Everybody I've met, got to spend time with, the men's weekend and Thursday night, just incredible people. You keep that good Kentucky hospitality going. I love it and glad to be here. And I just want to say something before I start. I don't know how many of you realize this or not, but this weekend actually is Dave's 37th year at Shelby Christian Church. Isn't that crazy? That's amazing. I don't think him and Kim just been here for that line. I don't think you understand how rare that is. In ministry, typically 5 years is a long stay for a pastor. And I promise you, he's had offers to go other places. He's had people call him because of what God's done here and say, hey, why don't you come over and be our, and he stayed put. And I think God has blessed that, and that's a big part of why, and I just think that's worth honoring so much. And so keep up the great work. So thankful for him and his example and his friendship. And, when you go guest speak at some place and you're not assigned a topic, it's always a difficult thing to pray and say, God, what do you want me to speak about? And I sit down and begin to think about it, and I begin to think about something that really travels. It travels because everybody struggles with it. And I think the subject I'm going to talk about here for the next few moments resonates with so many of us, probably more than maybe some of the other things I could have talked about. So years ago, I heard about this company, and it was real in the early days of the internet. It was called theworrycompany.com. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but they were the world's leading provider in worrying services. This is what their website said. Forget your worries. Your worrying days are over. Let us worry for you and your friends. Our company is dedicated to lifting the burden of worries from your shoulders. By becoming a member of the Worry Company, you officially transfer all your worries to our highly trained professionals who will worry for you. Your worries will be declared null and void. They'll be entered into our database for a period of 1 year, and we will worry for you. P.S. We only use certified worriers. If you kept clicking on the website, and this is legitimately a business they were trying to sell you, you could buy coffee mugs, you can buy all that, and you sit there and you think, wow, wouldn't it be nice if that was real? Like if that was legitimately something that you could do. Don't you wish it was that easy to get rid of your worry? I mean, you're worried about your children, your grandchildren, just send it on over to the worrying company. You're worrying about your pregnancy or your financial pressures or your job stress, just turn it over to the worry company. You're worried about those test results and the biopsy and all of those things. Just give it to a certified worrier and they'll take care of it for you. Now, we know it's a gimmick. We know it's not real, but we wish it was because worrying is a real problem. Anxiety is a real struggle. A few weeks ago on social media, I just said, what's your biggest worries? And I'm telling you, I got bombarded with answers, but worrying about our kids, worrying about our grandkids, worrying about the presidential election, worrying about job stabilities, worrying about the news, worrying about wars in the Middle East and everywhere else, worrying about smartphone and technology and how they're affecting the next generation, worrying about balancing work and marriage, worrying about kids in the foster care system and not being enough foster care parents, and worry about this. These are all the answers I got. And that's just a sample of them, because worrying is a big, real problem. There are a lot of worries, and there's varying degrees to the worrying. I know there's chronic worriers and there's mild worriers. But worrying, I think, causes us far more problems than we ever could imagine. It destroys your physical and mental health. Medical experts would say a great deal of the problems that they face and have to treat come about in at least large part due to stress and anxiety and worry. And worry can hurt your personality. It's hard to spend time with a chronic worrier. It hurts your witness. It can be counterproductive, and worse off, it demonstrates oftentimes a distrust in the God we've been singing about how much we trust. And here's what I want you to know today. And I want you to hear the heart of what I'm saying. Worry is a sin. But it's a sin that can be overcome. Worry is a sin, but it's a sin that can be overcome. You say, a sin? Where do you get that? Well, we don't ever just step back and say, well, thou shalt not steal. Okay, well, I'll just steal because that's just a little thing. That's not really a sin. Or thou shalt not commit adultery. We don't think, well, that's just one little thing. We'll do that. But yet, four times in the passage of Scripture in Matthew 6 that I'm about to read, four times Jesus said, do not worry. He's given a direct declaration, a direct command not to worry. And yet we minimize it and think, well, that's just something I can't control. Well, I'm here to tell you something, folks. Jesus never commands us to do something he doesn't give us the power to do. Never. Never in Scripture do we see him commanding us to do something that he doesn't give us the power to do. And it is a sin that can be overcome. It can be mitigated. And I'm living proof of it. You see, people today, if they saw me, they'd say, oh no, you're not a worrier. And that's true. I'm not a big worrier today. But when I was a young person, I'm telling you, I had deep anxieties. I mean, when I went to first grade, I literally cried every day wanting to come home because I was so I had so much stress about being away from home and doing. And then, you know, I remember then fast forward 15 years later when I started my first job, same thing, sick to my stomach. I couldn't stand to go to work. I was so anxious and scared I would mess something up and I couldn't do it. And then I fast forward another few years and I go to Bible college and I'm 4 hours away from home in this place where I don't know a soul. And I'm literally, my health is deteriorating. I'm so sick to my stomach because I'm so worried, anxious, and homesick. I was a big baby. And then one day in chapel service, a man, you might know his name, Bob Russell, was speaking. And Bob said that very thing that I just said to you. He taught from Matthew chapter 6. He said, did you know worry is a sin, but it's a sin that can be overcome because God would never command you to do something he wouldn't empower you to do. And it's like a light bulb went off in my head. And I started taking steps to repent and to get back to where God would want me to be. Now, before I go any farther and read our passage, I want to say something very clear. There is a difference between worry and chronic anxiety that is a mental health issue. A big part of it is just like when you need to go to the doctor for your heart, you need to go to the doctor for mental health problems as well. And I'm so thankful that we've kind of taken away the stigma from that the last few years. And it's been okay to seek help for that from professionals, maybe counseling professionals, certainly medical professionals. And I think it's a legitimate concern, and we need to understand that. That's the first thing I want to say. The second thing I want to say is there is also a difference between worry and concern. Concern is a probable outcome you can do something about. Worry is an improbable outcome or something you have no control over. And so I think it's okay to have some concerns that you can do something about. Jesus didn't say, okay, you live haphazardly, you don't get life insurance, you don't take care of your health physically. In fact, Jesus taught a story about it. He said, if you're going to build a tower, you need to weigh the cost before you do it. In other words, you need to plan and think ahead. And so there are certainly things that you have concern. If you have a test you need to take, you got to take, you can study for it. That's a concern. If you have a health problem, you can go to the doctor and get it checked out. If you're having financial struggles, you can get a side job to make more money. You can get on a budget. You can take a Financial Peace University. There's a concern, you can do something about it. But worry is different than that. Worry is just chronically worrying about anything and everything, and mostly things you have little or no control about. That inappropriate worry is what Jesus is talking about in our passage today. This is what he was addressing. Now, let me give you the context. The religious leaders were teaching that if you had money and wealth, you were blessed by God. You must be holier. And so the poor people are sitting there thinking, well, God must hate us, or I must be a bad person. And so they were trying to accumulate things and get like the religious leaders who had all the wealth and all the flair and all the popularity. And Jesus comes along and he says, listen, don't you know that life is far more than what you have? He said, don't lay your treasures on earth where moth and rust can get to them. Lay your treasures in heaven. Don't worry about these financial things and these material things. Worry about the kingdom of God. If you focus on him, you'll be okay. And that's the context in which he teaches from Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. And what you're going to see here is he gives us some negative impacts of worrying. The first negative impact he gives us is that worrying thinks too little of God. Worrying thinks too little of God. Listen to this, beginning verse 25. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for their heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable than they? See, birds don't spend a bunch of time saving. They don't spend a bunch of time worrying about where tomorrow's things are going to come from. No, they just live life. They fly around. They chirp. And guess what? Consider the flowers, Jesus says. They don't clothe themselves. God takes care of that. They look beautiful because God makes them look beautiful. He adorns them. And he says, listen, if God will take care of the birds of the air and the flowers in the fields, how much more will he take care of you? Do you not think God is capable? Do you not think he's willing? When we fall into worrying, we are thinking too little about God. In fact, like Jesus' listeners, we start thinking too much about worldly things. We're thinking about finances or a job or that next vacation or that status, or we're thinking about sports and extracurriculars, or we're thinking about this or that, and we start putting things ahead of God. And when we start thinking too much about worldly things, we think less about God, and we don't understand that we have a God that's capable of taking good care of us, but we start focusing on the wrong thing. When Peter sank, we just been learning about Peter in the ministry tree. When he sank, when he got out of the boat, why did he sink? Well, he took his eyes off of God, started looking at the storm. He took his eyes off of Jesus. And so when we think too little about God, I guarantee you stress and worries will accumulate. The second negative effect we see, though, is that worrying minimizes how much God thinks about us. Do you realize that? Worrying minimizes how much God thinks about us. Do you consider, verse 26, he says, consider how he takes care of all these things. Are you not worth more than them? Does God not love you more than them? He's pointing to the character of our Heavenly Father who loves us so much that he held nothing back. He cares for us. He loves us. He takes care of our needs. He offers provision for us. The point is, God thinks about you often. I like how Max Lucado said it years ago in one of his books. He said, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. That's how much you mean to him. In fact, you mean so much to him that this key verse to me to remind me how much he means to us, or we mean to him, Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Listen, since he, meaning God, did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? He gave us his only son. Listen, I got a 20-year-old daughter and I've got a 16-year-old son, and I wouldn't give them for the best of you. And God gave his son for the worst of us. That's how much he cares for us. That's how much he loves us. So if he doesn't even hold back his own son for our sake, how much more will he take care of all the things that you're facing? How much more can he handle it? He can and he will. Worry for the Christian is really irrational. It means you think God can do all of this, but he can't take care of you? Look at what Jesus says beginning in verse 31. So don't worry about these things. What will we eat? What shall we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. This translation, unbeliever, literally means pagan. Like the people who don't love God, don't believe in God, don't appreciate God. And he's saying, if your life is consumed by worry, you're living just like the pagans, just like the people who say they don't believe in God. Your God is much too small to you if you live in worry all the time. You're taking your focus off of him. You're forgetting how much he focuses on you. And if you look no different than your Christian friends when it comes to the issue of worry, then there's a problem. And it damages your witness. I mean, Peter says, listen, you should have this hope in such a way that people see that when you're going through storms and they'll say, what's the reason for your hope? How can you be so hopeful? It passes all human understanding. I have a friend who lost a big part of his retirement in 2008 in the stock market crash. And his son asked him, said, Dad, what's it feel like to lose all that money? He said, well, it wasn't mine to start with, and God will take care of me. And I have a friend, one of my best friends in the world, whose daughter died of a heart problem at 17 years old, suddenly. And he and his wife, who grieve and miss her, they serve God even more today than they did then. They've led people to Christ. They've done all these things. And I say, how can you do that? And they said, because we trust God. And we know that Lexi's with God. And we'll see her again. And we believe what we say. We believe. I was going through this really challenging time in my life about 10 years ago. And I had lost a bunch of weight. I was struggling. First time in my life I understood depression. I had always been a little insensitive about it before, and I understood it, and I became much more empathetic to people who struggle with it. And we were at an elders meeting, and one of my youngest elders looked at me and he said, Daryl, you always tell us that if Jesus is all you had, he would be more than enough. Do you believe it? And I said, yes, I do. And my whole outlook changed again. Negative number three, though, worrying is counterproductive. I know we don't realize it, but we actually add nothing to the problem, fixing the problem by worry. Look what Jesus says in verse 27. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? He said, can it do anything? And actually, the irony is, medical science says it can take away from our life, and it certainly can take away the quality of life. It's not productive to sit around and worry. Do you realize how little of what we worry about actually comes true? A recent study shows that the average person's anxiety is focused on 40% of the things that will never happen. So 40% of things will never happen. 30% of the things that are in the past that you can't do anything about, you can't change. So that's 70% right there. Another 12% is people's opinions that you can't control. 10% worry about health, which only gets worse when worry about it. So only 8% of worry is problems that you will actually face that you can do anything about. Do you get that? That's why it's been said, worrying does not empty tomorrow of its sorry, it empties today of its strength. And in verse 34, Jesus says, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. So in other words, put your energy towards serving God today and not focusing so much on the unimaginable things of tomorrow. Because it hurts your productivity, it hurts your witness, and it hurts you. So how do we do this? How can we develop and grow to go out of this being consumed by worry? Well, I just want to give you some steps here. I don't want to leave you with just diagnosing the problem. Let's fix the problem. And the first thing I would say is develop a trust in the providence of God. You have to remind yourself and develop a trust in the providence of God. That means God is providing. He offers provisions for you way in advance. Recently, our church has went through something just unimaginable and tough. And as I look back over the last month and a half when we've went through it, it's amazing to see how God provided, how he took care of us through it all, how he knew. Because guess what? He wasn't surprised by what happened. He already knew. And so instead, we just trust him. We understand he's providing for us. He has our best interest in mind. He loves us. He cares for us. Philippians 4:19, and the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians says, and God will generously provide all that you need. And Jesus said, listen, if sinful parents know how to provide good things for their kids, how much better, how much more does your heavenly Father, who is perfect, by the way, who is all-knowing, who is all-powerful, who is all-loving, how much more can he provide good things for you? And there's nothing that you will face that you and he can't face together. Now, we have to be realistic. The providence of God doesn't mean we're not going to have trials. In fact, Jesus said the opposite, didn't he? He said, in this world, you will have troubles. But take heart, I have overcome those troubles. In other words, he will be with you through those troubles and your sorrows and your pains have an expiration date. He is going to come and he's going to make all things right. So we hang on to this scripture that I say every single day, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do. In all you do. And he will show you the path to take. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will guide your path. He will make your path straight. You trust in him. Even you listen, you trust his heart even when you can't see his hand. Because he is at work. Think about the disciples. When Jesus was crucified, they thought all was lost. They thought everything was over. They thought life had come to a complete stop. Yet what they didn't know is God was working because Jesus was dying for their sins on the cross. And then he was going to overcome the grave and defeat the final enemy, death, forever. So he was at work, even when they couldn't see it, even when they couldn't understand it. They just had to lean on not their understanding, but trust in the Lord. And at just the right time, he knows what he's doing and he'll provide for you. Corrie ten Boom, the famous, obviously, girl who went through the Holocaust and all of that, when some of their friends were being arrested and carried off and taken off by the authorities, she began to really be concerned. She said, Dad, I just don't think I have enough faith to stand firm on my faith. If they tell me to deny Jesus and live, who's to say I won't do that? And he says, you don't have to worry about it. She goes, I just don't think I'm strong enough. And he said, Corrie, you know when we go take the train into the next town over? Remember what I do? I buy the tickets and then I keep your ticket until right before we get on the train and then I hand it to you. So you have it at just the moment you need it. He said, that's what God will do for you. So maybe in this moment, you don't think you have the strength, but God is waiting. And at just the right moment, at just the right time, the all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful, provident God of the universe who cares for you will provide what you need. So step number one is to trust in the providence of God. Step number two is to keep a spiritual focus every single day. You see, that's why I think it's important. I know the Bible doesn't say you have to start your morning with Scripture and so on and so forth, but that's why I like to start every morning reading Scripture and having prayer, because if I start focusing on the spiritual things, I got a shot. But if I start off the day checking emails and messages and focusing on the worldly things or on my job, well, I'm going to have much less luck at truly seeing the big picture and trusting God. You see, if you focus on things you can't control, or you focus on worldly things, it will take your focus off of God. And that's why Jesus said, lay your treasures in heaven. Put your heart there. Don't build your life on this world. Build it on God's purpose. C.S. Lewis once said, you aim at heaven, you get the world thrown in. You aim at earth, you get neither. So if you focus all your time on your physical well-being, listen, it's futile. Eventually, we're going to get sicker, older, if we live long enough. And we're all, I mean, death's 100%. If you focus all your attention on your career, guess what? Your career could end tomorrow. If you focus all your attention on money, money's temporary. And listen, you can never have enough to satisfy you anyway. Don't focus on temporary things. Focus on God, which brings me to step number three. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. You see, we live in a world where, whether we realize it or not, our kingdom is what's most important. Here's how I've learned this to be true. Being a parent and seeing grandparents, what's all their focus on? Their kids or their grandkids. Now, is it wrong to focus on your kids and grandkids? Absolutely not. But when we turn our lives and they become our focus, all of a sudden what we're really doing is saying it's my little kingdom that's most important. It's my kingdom. But what did Jesus say in verse 33? Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he'll give you everything you need. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Above everything else, you put his kingdom first. You say, God, I'm going to give you your thing. I'm going to deal with your thing. I'm going to focus on your thing. And I know you'll take care of my thing. I know you'll walk with me. You'll help me through it. Which brings me to the last step, which is give it to God in prayer. You are never going to, every time you start worrying, just talk to God about it. Tell him your deepest desires. Tell him your deepest fears. Tell him your deepest worries. Listen, he's got big shoulders. He can handle it. That's why Paul wrote to the Philippians, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. Then you will experience a peace which exceeds anything we can understand. The peace that passes all human understanding. So what's Paul saying? He's saying, listen, don't sit around and be anxious about things. Instead, tell God about it. You tell him your concerns. You tell him your worries. You give it to him. But you thank him for what he's already done. You thank him for what he's going to do. You look anxiously and know that he can handle this. And you give it to him. And there's this peace that passes all human understanding when you really give it up to him. And you talk to him a lot. I talk to him a lot. I talk to him all day long. Because he's big enough and powerful enough, and I can trust him. And I trust him in the morning, and I trust him in the night. And you know, I rarely lie awake worrying about things, because he's going to be up anyway, so I can just give it to him. And he's in control. And you know what? We like control, but control is ultimately an illusion. We don't control very much ourselves, do we? We learned that in 2020, didn't we? We learned that we had the illusion of control. We didn't control much, but God can, and he does. At our church, we sing this song called You've Already Won. And I love the chorus to it. It says, I'm fighting a battle that you've already won. No matter what comes my way, I will overcome. I don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. You see, I've read the end of the story. I've read the end of the book. And we win. And God that we could trust, that is faithful, that keeps all his promises, has promised to make all things new. And that means even the worst of things we face on this earth, he will make new. And that means he's created a way through Jesus Christ to prepare a place where there's no more wars, where there's no more terrorism, where there's no more tiny little coffins, and no more motionless ultrasounds. There's no more cancer wings, or nursing homes, or funeral homes. There's no more politicians or presidential elections. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
There's no more any of the things that you think of that are bad, but all things are made new. And the best part is we get to spend eternity with God forever. You can trust him. And that starts by trusting him as your Lord and Savior. And if you are here today and you've never accepted him, let me just give you the real simple gospel message. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, Jesus took the hell that I deserve in order that I can have the reward that I don't deserve. God made him who had no sin to become our sin so that in him we can have the right standing for God. So here's what you do. You believe in him with all your heart. You repent of sin and you're washed in the water of grave of baptism. You can do that today. Why put off till tomorrow what you have today to do? Don't leave here not knowing your eternity is secured. Your present is empowered and your past is forgiven. For the rest of us, may we be reminded of it. Maybe we remember what God has done and what he continues to do. And may we put our whole trust in him. And may you lay your worry at the foot of the cross today. Let's pray. Father God, I'm so grateful for your son, Jesus. Lord, I don't have to set up worrying about everything because you've already won the battle. And Lord, certainly there's things I have to do. There's concerns that I need to do something about, but worry in and of itself, Lord, we don't have to live in worry. We can trust you. And the worst thing that happened to us on earth is death, and yet you've taken care of that. So may we trust you with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. Lord, we love you, but we know that our love for you can't even compare to how much you love us. You can tell how much something's worth by how much somebody's willing to pay for it, and you are willing to pay with your son. And if we can trust you with that, we can trust you with anything. So it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We have some staff members that will be down here to come pray with them if you need to during this next song. And then also too, during this next song, I want to invite you to come and get the elements of communion and then just bring back to your seat. And, together we will take that communion. But we also have a few baptisms this morning that we want to celebrate. So whenever you do return to your seat, just have a seat until we finish.
You gave your life for mine, nailed to the cross, you crucified. All my sin and shame, it was washed by your mercy. You are the treasure I find, my reason for living. So let my life become an offering to the one who is worthy. All praise to the one.
saved my life. All praise to Jesus Christ, High King of Heaven, my King forever. Stormed the gates of my heart, the veil in between was torn apart. Now you hold the keys to the grave, 'cause you bring things to life and you roll stones away. Oh, praise to the Lord Most High, and oh, praise to the one who saved. Jesus Christ, High King of Heaven, my King forever. Oh, praise to the Lord Most High, and oh, praise to the one who saved my life. Oh, praise to Jesus Christ, High King of Heaven, my King forever.
This moment, we just want to lift up our hands. We want to lift up our praise in our hearts from the depths of our spirits. It's an outward expression of the love we have for Him. We lift up.
So we lift our hands up, lay our whole lives down, my whole life down before You. I lift my hands up, lay my whole life down. My whole life now is for You. I lift my hands up, lay my whole life down. My whole life down before You. I lift my hands up, lay my whole life down. My whole life down.
Some of you just need to surrender today. Something.
I lift my hands up, lay my whole life down, my whole life down before You. I lift my hands up, lay my whole life down, my whole life now is for You. And all praise to the Lord Most High, and all praise to the One who saved.
God, as we have these elements, we just want to focus our attention on the mighty gifts, the gifts of eternal life, salvation through Jesus, an abundant life through Jesus. So today, as we focus on the cup with the bread, juice that represents Your blood, God, we remember what You did for us, God. We're so thankful. And all praise to the Lord Most High. You can take those elements now. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness.
Amen. You can be seated.
Good morning, church.
Good morning, good morning.
Welcome to this episode of Raising to Cry Again. This is Leona, and me and Leona have been talking for a little bit, and last week she came up to me and she was like, I think it's time I need to get in the water. I have not even told Leona this, but Leona has a pretty special place in my heart, because her sister and her friend Abby, who will also be getting in the water today, they were some of the first kids who came in while I was coming here, who came back. And when I did not necessarily think that I was cut out for this, I had students who wanted to hear the message of God. And they continued to come back. And it was this awesome moment where through some of these students, I got to see just how powerful God is. And in this moment, I get to see it again. So before I start crying, like full on tears, I need you to repeat after me. I believe that Jesus is the Christ.
That Jesus is the Christ.
Son of the living God.
Son of the living God.
Who died for me and my sins.
Who died for me and my sins.
And the gift of everlasting
life. And the gift of everlasting life.
Well, Leona, based on your confession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is Abby, second half of this puzzle. Abby came up to me at the same time last week, and she had the same confession. She wanted to be baptized. She's been chasing God for a little bit, and she's ready to find him. She's ready to turn around and run to her Father. And this just awesome opportunity, I'm very excited about. Abby, will you repeat after me? You ain't gotta do that yet. Just repeat after me. I believe that Jesus is the Christ.
That Jesus is the Christ.
Son of the living God.
Son of the living God.
Who died for me and my sins.
Who died for me and my sins.
And the gift of everlasting life.
And the gift of everlasting life.
Well, Leona, based on your confession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
By the decision room back there in that corner when service over. Bobby will be over by the next step room over here. I'll be hanging out down here. If this is your first time, I'd love to meet you down here. Real quick, let me let you know. We've got guys, especially the men. We've got our swag, our uncommon swag for here. We've got some t-shirts back at the table at the sign-up wall. Kim's back there if you want to stop by and check those out. And also, the fun stuff and the gross stuff keeps coming. This coming weekend, marriage seminar on Saturday. It's in the videos that played before service and it'll play here in a minute. So get signed up for that stuff. Man, God is good. He's working. He's doing great things. We're glad you're here. Get out of here. Go love God, love people. Watch him change the world.